First Kings, chapter number 2. We're going to read the first two verses in First Kings, chapter number 2. If you have a King James Bible, we'll read together. First Kings, chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2. And let's read, shall we? Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. I'm going to talk to you this morning about showing yourself a man. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, dear God, that you allowed us to be saved. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel, for the word of God. Thank you, dear Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross to pay for all of our sin so that we wouldn't have to go to hell to pay for it. Dear God, thank you again now for this morning. Bless these dear folks this morning. Bless the junior church, the nursery. Dear Holy Spirit of God, please speak to our hearts. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to be a distraction. And help us to pay attention on purpose. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Many years ago, I'm going to say, and I'm guessing here, 20 years ago, I preached a sermon right out of this verse here at a Christian school in the area. And it was a graduation sermon. And I preached this title, Show Thyself a Man. That was one hellfire and damnation sermon that will not be like what I'm going to preach this morning, although it'll be closely related to it. And I'm going to say some things, obviously, Father's Day today, concerning fathers and concerning this verse and concerning the conduct of a man and the makeup of a man. And there's going to be some things, obviously, as I said, that you're not going to like. I'm going to ask you to hold off your judgment until I'm done. This is just one sermon out of many that I've preached. I've been preaching for 32 years now. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's 4 hours that I teach and preach now for the last 32 years. So I hope you don't take this out of context with everything else that I've said. We are in a dire need for godly men today. We are in a shortage. There's a great shortage of godly men who fear God. And our country has suffered as a result. And I want to read this again here before I begin into my sermon. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. He's going to die. He's on his deathbed. He brings his son close to him. He's talking to him. His last words, be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. The title of my sermon this morning and tonight is show thyself a man and be a man of understanding. A man of understanding. A couple years ago, I preached a sermon on Solomon, asking God, telling Solomon, you can pray for anything you want. You can ask for anything you want. What is it that you want? And Solomon didn't ask for riches or power or wealth. He asked for an understanding heart to lead this great people, this so great a people, these large number of people, God's people. And God was impressed with Solomon because Solomon had asked for an understanding heart. And so God blessed him with that, gave him wisdom, as you know, more wisdom than anyone else, and also gave him riches and power and strength. And so
This morning, I want to talk to you about men of understanding and show thyself a man. And the word understand, I did this a couple years ago and I pulled it out. Actually, I went back on and I got the same definition of the word understand. And it comes obviously from two words, under and stand. And I'm going to read the whole definition here from Webster's 1828 dictionary. But it says to have just and adequate ideas of, to comprehend, to know. Understanding is comprehending, apprehending the ideas or sense of another. The faculty of the human mind by which it apprehends the real state of things presented to it, or by which it receives or comprehends the ideas which others express and intend to communicate. The understanding is called also the intellectual faculty. It is the faculty by means of which we obtain a great part of our knowledge, exact comprehension. Again, two words, under, like holding up something that you stand on. Old English, standing on a principle, standing on a truth, not just physically standing on two legs, but some truth that you're standing on. And understand is obviously the combination of those two, having a belief and a truth that you can stand on that is right. We ought to be, especially the men, obviously, men of understanding. Just because a man understands things doesn't mean that he has to agree with everything. You may not agree with the way somebody is living their life or the way that somebody has conducted themselves, but God says the man of God understands all things. So if you're saved and you're living right and you're right with God, you can understand all things. You don't have to agree with everything, but you can understand why people are messed up. You can understand why people have ruined their lives. You can understand why people have fallen into sin. You can understand why people are cursed. You can understand why people are disobeying God and rebelling against God. You don't have to agree with it, but you can understand it if you're right with God. And you can have an understanding heart where your heart hurts and breaks for others while still standing for the truth of the Word of God. We need to be courageous. We need to be bold, but we also need to be humble, compassionate, meek, and forgiving. And so a combination, you know, if you've been in this church for any length of time, you've heard any of my preaching, you know exactly what I believe. And I'm going to reiterate some of that don't leave and get upset. Don't get upset and leave until you hear the entire sermon. It's only about 4.5 hours this morning. Is that too long? But I want to talk to you about being men of understanding. A working man in most fields must be sensitive to things and people. A husbandman, if you look up the dictionary and the etymology of the word husbandman, it means the master of the house, whether you like that or not. I know we have, our society is run by Jezebels today. I understand that. And most women hate men today. I do understand that because most men are a bunch of jerks and rebels against God. And most women have been burnt by men who have rebelled against God. I understand that because that's my sermon. I understand that. But that doesn't mean you throw out the rest of the Bible and disobey the rest of the Bible because a whole bunch of men are jerks and rebels against God that don't want to live right. You don't expunge certain verses because you don't like them or make you feel uncomfortable. A husbandman works with fruit. And by the way, that definition comes from Webster's 1828 of a husbandman being the master, okay? No man's going to be my master. Yeah, okay, that's the words from a Jezebel, okay? That's a words from a rebel. But a husbandman works with fruits and vegetables and farming, like a shepherd. A shepherd doesn't kick the sheep. A shepherd doesn't take a 2x4 and hit the sheep over the head to get their attention. The husbandman must be sensitive to seeds, planting, seedlings, tender shoots, preparing the soil, the fertilizer, the dung, the stakes, the fencing, the lattice work. You know, the tomato plants have sucker branches you got to break off so that more of the juice, more of the vitamins, more of the minerals get to the tomatoes instead of the leaves, if you want tomatoes. But The farmer, the husbandman, has tomato cages, the plants themselves. He watches them as they grow. He weeds the garden. He strings the plants up. He's careful to maybe bend the branches without breaking them, to gently tie the string around the trunk to the stakes with cloths around the trunk so the string or the cable does not dig into the bark of the plant or fruit tree. I mean, if you've ever planted a garden, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't yell at a plant to make it grow better. You don't stomp on it to make it grow better. Many factories and shops and workplaces today are run either by computers or very highly sophisticated equipment. And that equipment is usually very sensitive with dials and gauges that lets the operator know exactly how much pressure or how many pounds or how much light or the exact degree of temperature or the degree of an angle is needed in the operation of the specialized equipment. The operator must be very gentle and very cautious as he operates these very expensive machines and computerized equipment. One small move in the wrong direction and the product will be ruined, or they have to start all over from the beginning, or he could be electrocuted, or as you've read, caught up in a machine and killed. A machinist, a mechanic, a gunsmith, a court reporter, a lawyer, a judge must know their field of expertise and do it crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's to be correct. They have to be very diligent in making sure that their work is done correctly. A man must take care of his car and baby his car if he wants it to run. He's got to have the car have a tune-up, change the oil for the engine, the transmission, check the tread on the tires, change the tires when they're needed, make sure all the front and rear lights are in working order, clean and wash and polish the car, repair the scratches and dents before the rust sets in, check the brakes, the hoses, the belts. Make sure they're not worn or cracked or frayed. He makes sure that the antifreeze, the windshield fluid is filled. He makes sure that the right gasoline octane or diesel is in there that the vehicle needs. He gets regular maintenance and checkups. Years ago, when I got my first cars, we had timing. Timing lights, or you don't need those now. Everything's computerized. The spark plug wires have to be in the right order so the car does not backfire. If it's a standard or manual transmission, the clutch has to be checked. I had a neighbor once across the street. Literally, I'm not exaggerating when I say they used to wash and wax his car once a week. Once a week. And then he crashed that baby, man. Talk about a broken heart. Men will take care of their guns with meticulous care. They'll make sure they're clean, they're oiled, they're polished, they're ready to go. They're ready to use at a moment's notice, either for hunting or for self-defense. They read up on what kind of ammo is best for what kind of wildlife or fowl to shoot. They'll learn what kind of gun is best used for different kinds of wildlife or fowl. They'll store them in strong safes or a beautiful gun cabinet with glass fronts, mahogany cabinet, oak cabinet, and they'll display their beautiful rifles and shotguns to everyone that enters their home. If they miss a shot, they don't throw their rifle or shotgun and bang it against a tree. They don't cuss at their gun or rifle. They don't get mad or angry at the gun. But too many men that are rebels and jerks get mad at everybody else and angry without cause because they cannot control their emotions. And their pride gets the best of them. And they think because they're a man, you think that alone, because you're a male, you think that alone qualifies you to rule properly. My Bible says in Psalm 18:35 and 2 Samuel 22:36, thy gentleness, David's writing this, thy gentleness hath made me great. David acknowledged that God's gentleness made David great. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 13:14, the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And that phrase is almost repeated in Acts 13:22. When it's talking about David, he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the Bible says, the Lord said unto Samuel concerning Saul, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So God's looking for a man after his own heart, not because you got muscles or because you're a male. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7 says that Abraham is God's friend forever. Isaiah 41, 8 says, Abraham, thy friend. In James 2, 23, the Bible calls Abraham the friend of God. In Exodus 33, 11, the Bible says, the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. When you berate your friend, you're not really a man of God, a man of understanding. When you're being overly critical, and I want to be careful, overly judgmental, you're not a man of God. A man of God understands all things, the Bible says. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 24, verse number 5, when a man hath taken a new wife, the Bible says he shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken. It is the man's job to make sure his wife is cheered up. And if your wife is not cheered up, there's something wrong with you. Let me repeat that. If your wife is not cheered up, there's something wrong with you. You're the one that married her. My Bible says in Proverbs 5:18, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. As Billy Sunday once said, when he looked out the window and people were criticizing his preaching, he opened up the window, leaned outside the hotel where he was preaching, and he said, the whole world can go to hell. Billy Sunday's going to bed. You know what? You can live a miserable life. My wife and I are going to enjoy the rest of my life, the rest of her life. I don't know how long we've got to live. You can live a miserable life if you want. You will come and listen to the preaching, listen to my teaching all you want. You can get advice or counsel all you want. But I'm not going to live a miserable life because you're living a miserable life. My father-in-law, when he was a tailor, had the dry cleaning store. I wish I could remember off the top of my head. But he had a great sign behind his front counter there. He says, you and I are friends. He says, I can't remember now. Somebody ought to tell me. He says, you cry, I cry. You hurt, I hurt. Something else, a couple more sentences. He said, you know, when you have pain, I have pain. He said, you jump off the bridge, I'm going to miss you. You want to ruin your life? Go ahead and ruin your life. I'm not planning on ruining my life. But you think, this is what too many men think, because they're a male, they think they can do anything they want, and God's curse is on them. Because you're not a man of understanding. Now, I know there's Jezebels around, but I'm preaching to a crowd that comes to this church and knows what I believe about the Bible. And you know I've not been soft on men or women. And most people don't come to this church, as I said earlier, a couple weeks ago, by accident. You're here because you know what the preaching's like. You're here because somebody invited you. You're here because something other reason. And I'm not changing my preaching for anybody. We've had men and women walk out of this building during my sermons because they didn't like what I said. 32 years later, I'm still preaching, amen. I know the crowds haven't gotten too much bigger, but that's okay. God's word hasn't changed, amen. When a man had taken a new wife, the Bible says he shall cheer up his wife, which he had taken. If your wife's not happy, there's something wrong with you. My Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5 that you ought to submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the husband-wife relationship now. The husband-wife relationship. My wife's supposed to submit to me according to the word of God, and I am supposed to submit to my wife when she's right. Of course, most males don't want to agree with that because I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Yeah. Pride, arrogance, the evil way. You're going to do whatever I tell you to do because I'm the male. Yeah, no man of understanding will say that. The Bible says, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The Bible says, same chapter, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And the Bible says in the last verse there, in verse number 33, the wife see that she reverence her husband. Reverence. You know, the word reverence is only used in the Bible concerning God, except here. I don't usually go to the Greek, but the Greek word for reverence means fear. How come the evangelicals never go to that verse and say, well, the original Greek says that? Because they're run by a bunch of Jezebels. Ahab's in the pulpit, run by Jezebels at home. And the women at home, the deacons' wives and the pastors' wives say, no man's ever going to tell me what to do. That's why your life's so messed up. You listen to me good. That's why our country's so messed up. That's why women want Hillary to be the president, a Jezebel, instead of at least a man who's got some courage and guts and some backbone. I don't like everything the president does. I don't like everything he says. I think he's too proud, to be honest with you. But I'd rather have a man instead of a Jezebel in the White House. My Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. My Bible says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. My Bible says, a man's pride shall bring him low. My Bible says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's what the Bible says. But the Bible says he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. My Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That means you ought to think that everyone else in this room is better than you. That means you ought to think that everyone in your home is better than you. My Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, colon, and here's what evil is, pride and arrogancy and the evil way in the froward mouth do I hate. In Numbers chapter number 11, verse number 12, Moses is arguing with God. Moses is a great man, the meekest man on earth then. And he said, have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child. But yet that's exactly what God told Moses to do. They're a bunch of crybabies. They're a bunch of rebels. But he said, like a nursing father, carry them. Because that's exactly what God did with us, ladies and gentlemen, when we were disobedient, rebelling against God Almighty. Ruling is more than just commanding. It bothers me when too many pastors don't have a pastor's heart. Anybody can preach hellfire and damnation. But where's the preachers with a broken heart and the tearful pleading with people to get right with God? My Bible says, comfort the feeble-minded. I'm all for being the king of the castle and the master of the home. I'm all for being the captain of the ship. But gruff men got away with it maybe 100 years ago. You ain't getting away with it now. Men being dictatorial and overbearing got away with it 100 years ago. You may not get away with it now. There's too many nables today that do not want to listen to Abigail, a woman of understanding, the Bible says, who loves God. There's a danger of being like an Ahab, I understand, who is controlled by Jezebel. There's a danger in that. But a man of God ought to have a balance and have an understanding heart, the Bible says. After my wife and I got married, and even still today, I've always encouraged my wife to go see her family and relatives, always, to keep up with them, whether they were in the States 5 hours away or whether they were in Greece. Even when we started our church 32 years ago, we used to travel back and forth once a month or more, I don't remember right now, just so my wife could spend time with her parents and sisters and cousins. I'll tell you, I cannot tell you, and I can't tell you publicly, but there's so many times, thank God, that I listened to my wife concerning some decisions I made, because I was about to make some wrong decisions, man. Sometimes I asked my wife, sometimes she just popped up and said, well, how about this? And I'm telling you, just one recently, I don't want to get into a personal matter, but just recently, I turned around and I made a 180-degree turn. I said, you're 100% right, thank you. She spared me a lot of heartache, man. I can't stand men that are full of themselves because they're a male and they think they can speak and yell louder than a woman can. And they think God's going to bless them. Not in this church. You come to the wrong place. You come to the wrong place. Yeah, I think a man ought to be the king of the house, king of the castle. I believe that. You've been here for any length of time, you know exactly what I believe. I'm not minimizing any of that. But you know what a woman really wants? To know that a man, her husband, loves her. and gives himself for her. First Peter 3:7 says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Happy Father's Day. My Bible says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Don't you have any knowledge about your wife? She's the weaker vessel, the Bible says. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. She cannot take the pressures that a man should be able to take. She cannot do the things physically that the average person, average man can do. My wife runs away from controversy. I run towards controversy, amen? I don't blame my wife for that. She's supposed to be meek, quiet, humble, and be quiet. That's what a woman's supposed to be like. A man's supposed to have some backbone, some courage to say the truth, whether the whole world's against you or not, whether the whole world hates you or not, but still love people and have a heart of understanding the way God says. You just can't have what the part that you like and discount the part that you don't like. My Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul says, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Paul the apostle said that. We take care of our gardens and our plants and our fruit trees and our tomato plants better than we take care of our wives. We take care of our guns and our fishing poles better than we take care of our wives. We take more care about our hobbies that we like and we're enthralled in than we care about our homes, our families, our wives. But you're going to say, no woman's going to ever tell me what to do. Yeah, I've seen many people like that where I understand why your wife leaves. I'm not saying it's right. Paul said the same thing, by the way. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. He said, don't leave. He said, but if she leaves because you're a jerk, you're arrogant and you're proud, let her remain unmarried. I know why people go to divorce courts. I know why people separate. Sometimes it's a woman's fault, sometimes it's a man's fault. But you ought to have an understanding heart of what people go through. My Bible says in Isaiah 49:23, kings shall be thy nursing fathers. Kings shall be thy nursing fathers. Ephesians 4:32 says we ought to be tender-hearted. 2 Timothy 2 says, be gentle unto all men. James 3 says, we ought to be peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. You remember the story of Nabal? When David's servants came to cut him off, they were going to kill every single man that pisses against the wall, the Bible says. You know what the servant told Abigail? He said, here's what she said, no man can talk to Nabal. Yeah. He doesn't want to listen to any advice or counsel. He's just going to do whatever he wants to. And God killed him just like that, man. Yeah, God killed him a couple days later. And when David found out that Nabal died, he said, go get yourself Abigail. That's the kind of wife I want. He said to Abigail in the path, he said, God bless you for your advice and counsel. When's the last time a husband ever said that to his wife? Huh? Are you gentle unto all men? Are you peaceable, gentle? Don't mistake my preaching from my conduct outside the pulpit. Here's what most pastors have done. They've become traitors to men by being spineless in the pulpit and saying, God loves everybody, and no matter what you do, God's going to love you and bless you, and don't worry about anything. Don't worry about sin or judgment or hell. God loves you. But when they're outside the pulpit, they're nasty, they're loving money, they love themselves. You know what a hellfire and damnation preacher's like? Somebody gives you both barrels right between the eyes and is gracious when he gets out of the pulpit and loves you when he gets out of the pulpit. You may not like my position on what I preach, but you show me one time in the last 32 years that my disposition has not been right. I try to treat everybody kindly. I try to treat everybody as fairly as I possibly can. I try to treat everybody the way God wants me to treat, justly. But I'm not going to minimize my preaching because we have too many Nabals or too many Jezebels coming to church. Nabal can get right with God and Jezebel can get right with God. Not those two that died. But a modern-day Jezebel, a modern-day Nabal, hey, you can get right and wash that thinking that you've had for the last 10, 20, 30 years from the world out of your mind and get right with God. I'm not changing my preacher for anybody. My Bible says in Ephesians 4, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You think because you can carry a gun or shoot a gun or go hunting or because you're so strong, you think that qualifies you as a man of understanding? I don't think so. In Genesis 33, 14, Jacob said, I will lead on softly. He led his family softly. You've heard me say this. I told my church, there's a door right there. If you come to church and you don't think this preacher loves you, you got a problem. You listen to other people who hate preaching, who hate the word of God, and who hate God. I'm preaching the truth because I love you. I don't want God to curse you. I want God to bless you. All you need to do is humble yourself and get right with God. By the way, this kind of Baptist preaching used to be 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago. You're not a man because you can lift a certain weight or bench press a lot of weight and have muscles. God said in Psalm 147, verse 10, he taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. You're not a man because you can shoot a gun with accuracy. A woman, this is about 15, 20 years ago, a woman in the United States Marine Corps broke the record for being the best expert in Marine Corps history until about 5 or 10 years ago, another man beat her. But some woman can shoot better than you can. You're not a man because you can make a lot of money. Some woman can make more money than you. You're not a man because you can scream loud and yell. Some women are louder than Jezebels. You're not a man because you can hit another woman. Some women can beat you in a fight. You're not a man because you put tattoos on your body, contrary to the word of God. You're not a man because you put earrings and nose rings on your body like the heathen. You're not a man because you boss your wife around. You might be a male, but you're not a man of understanding. You're not a man because you try to intimidate others. You're not a man because you get your own way. Crybabies and spoiled brats do the same thing. You're not a man because you're not a woman. You're a male. Just because you're a male doesn't mean you're a man of God. Doesn't mean you're a man of understanding. Doesn't mean you're a leader. You're not a man because you cuss, swear, and use God's name in vain. You're not a man because you've been in jail or prison or you've been in a gang or in the hood. You're not a man because you're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, judges, and authority. You're not a man because you drink your booze, your wine, your liquor, your alcohol, your champagne. You're not a man because you smoke your cigarettes, your pot, your weed, or you're chewing tobacco. You're not a man because you get drunk or high or party or dance all night in the clubs and raves. You're not a man because you fathered many children. You're not a man because you fornicated or committed adultery and cannot control your lusts. You're not a man when you're on welfare and food stamps and you can work, but you choose not to work. You're a man because you fear God, because you obey God, because you obey the word of God. You're a man because you love God and want what God wants for you. Which one are you? Are you a male or a man? Happy Father's Day, 2019. You're not a man because you come to God's house you're a man because you come to God's house when the doors are open, when God's people assemble together. You're a man because you pray and memorize the word of God. You're a man when you go soul winning and visiting and following up people and people get saved. You're a man when you yield to God to do his will, not your will. You're a man when you humble yourself and you're meek and not arrogant and proud. You're a man when you listen to advice and counsel. You're a man when you take the advice and counsel from others instead of doing your selfish will. My Bible says in Deuteronomy 1:13, take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. You want to be a ruler of your house, of your marriage, of the house of God? Then be a man of God, not a male. Solomon prayed, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Are you a male or a man? Which one are you? You want to boss people around? You enjoy bossing people around? Or do you enjoy doing God's will? In 1 Chronicles 12:32, And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. We are lacking men of understanding, especially in these days, of men who know what we ought to do. My Bible says in Ezra chapter number 8 that we ought to be men of understanding. By the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding. I don't just want a preacher. I want a preacher that's right with God. I don't just want a pastor. I want somebody who's got a pastor's heart who's right with God. I just want a church. I want an old-fashioned hellfire damnation, King James only, Bible-believing Baptist church. I don't want some wimp or spineless person behind a pulpit who's afraid to preach to Jezebels or the males who are making lots of money because he can be bought off with the offering basket. The Bible says in Nehemiah 8, they caused the people to understand the law. You may not like what I'm saying, but you understand everything I'm saying this morning. One of my jobs is to cause the people to understand what God said. And the Bible says, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Thank God I married my wife, man. Thank God I didn't marry Jezebel, man. Been happily married for whatever it is from 1983. You figure it out, amen. I went to a public government school. What is it? Somebody help me right now. I'm getting in trouble. 38 years? 36 years? 36 years, amen. I've been married. Happily married. I don't know if my wife's happily married, but I'm happily married, amen. Yeah, buddy. Are you right with God this morning? Huh? The rest of the people, the Bible says in Nehemiah 10, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. Job said, teach me and I will hold my tongue and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. I wonder why God blessed Job twice as much at the end and purified him, because he said, cause me to understand wherein I have erred. The Bible says in length of days is understanding in Job 12:12. But Job 12:20 says he taketh away the understanding of the aged. God can take away your wisdom. God can take away your knowledge. God can take away your understanding. When you're not right with God, God's going to curse you, man. My Bible says in Job 20, verse 3, the spirit of my understanding causeth me to answer. Job 23, verse 5 says, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Job 28, 28 says, to depart from evil is understanding. Job 32, verse 8, the Bible says, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Job 32, 9 says, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. You better make sure you get your understanding from God, not from people, not from popular opinion, not from polls. You better find out what God says. The Bible says, hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Job 34, 10. Job 34, 16, if now thou hast understanding, hear this. He said in Job 34, 34, let men of understanding tell me, and let a wise man hearken unto me. Psalm 14, verse 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And God said there were none. Until we get saved, then we can understand God. Until we get right with God, then we can understand God. Psalm 19, 12, who can understand his errors? Psalm 32, 9, be not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding. Psalm 47, 7, sing ye praises with understanding. Psalm 49, 3, the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Psalm 49, 20, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. I've been in courtrooms where I've seen lawyers and judges, man, they're arrogant. Just because you got a title and graduated, just because you got a bachelor's degree and you were voted in, doesn't mean that you're right. Some of them are arrogant, man. They sit up there like they're pompous kings, telling everybody, looking down at everybody in arrogance. Yeah, I've seen husbands like that too, and fathers like that too, and pastors that way too. My Bible says in Psalm 53, as we said in Psalm 14, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek after God. Are you seeking after God this morning? Are you concerned about what the preacher's saying this morning about the Word of God and having an understanding heart and men being men of understanding? I'm trying to show you something before I die. I don't know if I'm going to die today, next week, next month, next year, but I want you to be a man. for God, not be selfish and be a male. I'd rather you get mad at me and leave, because you're going to face this truth one day, either here or at the judgment seat. My Bible says in Psalm 92, verse 6, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. Psalm 94, verse 8, understand ye brutish among the people. Psalm 107, verse 43, who is wise and will observe these things? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Psalm 119, 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Psalm 119, 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Psalm 119, 73, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Psalm 119, 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Psalm 119, verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Psalm 119, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. I don't care whether you're doing it or not. God says, I hate every false way. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 125, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, verse 144, give me understanding and I shall live. Psalm 119, 169, give me understanding according to thy word. Psalm 147, verse 5, his understanding is infinite. Take your Bible, please turn to the book of Proverbs. There's so much in Proverbs. Proverbs 1:6, to understand a proverb. Chapter 2, verse 2, apply thine heart to understanding. Verse 3, liftest up thy voice for understanding. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Verse 11, understanding shall keep thee. Chapter 3, verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. The reason why you're miserable, because you're not a man of understanding. I'm just telling you, either God's right or you're right. When a man is miserable and depressed and sad, there's something wrong. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Chapter 4, verse 1, attend to no understanding. Chapter 4, verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Verse 7, with all thy getting, get understanding. Chapter 6, 32, whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. Chapter 7, verse 4, call understanding thy kinswoman. Verse number 7, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Chapter 8, verse 1, and understanding cries, put forth her voice in the street, the Bible says in Proverbs 8, verse 1. Verse 5, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. That means you can have understanding this morning. Even if you don't have understanding, even if you don't have wisdom, God can give it to you if you want it. Verse 9, watch this. Chapter 8, verse 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth. Verse 14, I am understanding, God says. Chapter 9, verse 4, him that wanteth, you're lacking understanding. Verse 6, go in the way of understanding. Verse 10, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Verse 16, him that wanteth, you're lacking understanding. The strange woman will catch you. The strange woman will destroy you. Money will destroy you. Your pride will destroy you. You will destroy yourself. You know what America's missing? Men. Not males, men. Chapter 10, verse 23, a man of understanding hath wisdom. Chapter 11, verse 12, a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Chapter 12, verse 11, he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Chapter 13, verse 15, good understanding giveth favor. Chapter 14, verse 6, knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Verse 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. Chapter 15, verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. That's what the Bible says in Peter about the weaker vessel. You ought to have knowledge. Chapter 15, verse 21, a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Chapter 15, verse 32, he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. That's why people don't like old-fashioned preaching. We're a bunch of crybabies in America, man, a bunch of spoiled brats. Nobody wants to tell us what to do. I'm not going to have no man tell me what to do. No preacher going to tell me what to do. No church going to tell me what to do. Why don't you just add God's not going to tell you what to do either. Proverbs 16, verse number 22, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. Proverbs 17, verse 18, a man void of understanding striketh hands. Verse 24, wisdom is before him that hath understanding. Verse 27, a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Verse 28, he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Chapter 18, verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding. Chapter 19, verse number 8, he that keepeth understanding shall find good. Chapter 19, verse 25, reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. Chapter 20, verse 5, a man of understanding will draw it out. Chapter 20, verse 24, how can a man then understand his own way? Because man's goings are of the Lord. Chapter 21, verse 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Proverbs 20, verse 3, through wisdom is an house builded. By understanding it is established. Do you ever notice that people on welfare and food stamps and lazy bums sucking off the system don't like old-fashioned hellfire damnation preaching? Do you ever notice that? Do you ever notice that the sodomites, the queers, and the perverts don't like old-fashioned hellfire damnation preaching? Do you ever notice that? Do you ever notice that people don't use the King James Bible, hate hellfire and damnation preaching? Why? Because it convicts people of their sin and gets people right with God, amen? You know, people are shocked, people come to this church, you know. How can you preach all that stuff and people still come back a second or third time? Because somebody's concerned about souls getting saved from hell. Because somebody's trying to push as far as he can go to get you convicted about not winning people to Jesus Christ. Because somebody's trying to tell you you're going to die one day, and sinners are going to die one day, and they're out into an eternity without God, into hell. And somebody ought to care. You're not a man because you go to Alaska and hunt for bear and salmon for the rest of your life and live in a log cabin where nobody can see you. You're not a man because you can afford to buy all the luxuries you want. You're a man because you care about people where they're spending eternity. A man doesn't shirk the responsibility and run away from it. A man goes to the front line and even goes beyond the front lines. Song we sang earlier today. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift up. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. The trumpet call obey, forth to the mighty conflict, and this is glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes, let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand in his strength alone, the arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own, put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. If my country's in a war, I want to be on the front lines. If souls are at stake, I want to be on the front lines. If truth It's preached. I want to be preaching it until the day I take my last breath, whether it's popular or not popular. I'll remind you that it was God's people that put Jeremiah in the prison because Jeremiah was preaching against his own people. I'll remind you that Micaiah was put in jail in the prison because the king hated him. I'll remind you that it was Herodias dancing before Herod that got John the Baptist's head cut off. You know what we need? We need men of God, men of understanding, not males. Men who love God, who love the Word of God, love the house of God, and love souls. Are you a male or a man today? Drinking your beer and booze and wine and smoking your reefer and your pot. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:16, the prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. Proverbs 28:11 says, a rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:2, by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. You want your marriage to last? I say you be a man of understanding. You want your church to last? I say you be men of understanding. You want your country to last? Be men of understanding and understand what's going on. Proverbs 30, verse 2. The wicked say, surely I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. Hey, when God looks at you, are you a male or a man? When God looks at you and sums your life up and your character, you gonna do whatever you want, whatever God wants. Happy Father's Day. I say it's time up. I say it's time to use a phrase, to man up. To be woke. To do God's will, not your will. To be willing to be unpopular. To let others criticize you and hate you. I'd rather be a man of God that God blesses and loves than a spineless wimp that people love and God hates. You can be a man today. You can grow up today. You can put a spine in your back. Put courage in your walk. Be bold for the Lord. And you can love people the way God will want you to love them. Your wife, your children, church people, your neighbors, your coworkers. Total strangers. You can be if you wanted to. That's what we desperately need in our country. Men of understanding. David's on his deathbed. He calls Solomon over. He says, son, I'm going the way of all the world, of all the earth. About to die. The last thing he told his son, he says, show thyself a man. I tell you this morning, show yourself a man of God. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, there's not a one of us that's not guilty of not being what you want us to be. There's not one of us that haven't erred or made mistakes or sinned against thee and come short. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need preaching. That's why we need, Lord, to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. Dear God, give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Help us to be the kind of men that you want us to be. It's easy for us to sit in this room and criticize people on welfare, food stamps, the homosexuals, or the perverts. It's easy for those of us here to criticize those who are not amongst us. But I wonder how many of us here, under the sound of my voice, are as bullheaded and proud as somebody who's not here. Who doesn't care what you say, what the wife says, what the children think, what the church thinks? Not that they ought to override the Word of God, but at least be men of understanding and be compassionate and tender-hearted. Dear God, please bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to grow, mature, and to do that which is right, for life is so short. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying.